eat so. Everyone go, oh, you're so sad because you're loving this series so much. But it has been good, hasn't it? And you need to go home and you need to read the rest of the story and see how it all unfolds in the rest of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. But we learnt last week, we looked at King Saul, and God had chosen the first king of Israel, King Saul, right? And King Saul had failed to obey God. He'd failed to do what God had said, and so God rejected him. And God said, I'm going after a new king, one that's after my own heart. God was looking for this new king that actually cared about what God cared about. And we learnt last week, despite Saul being tall and strong and handsome, we learnt that God does not see as people see. The Lord does not see, or does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. And we talked last week about character, and our spiritual life should be the most important thing to us. And so we talked about last week, this David, if you remember, he was chosen as king. He was anointed. He was the youngest in the family, David. He was from this little town of Bethlehem. Where else? We said last week, where else do we hear about Bethlehem? This little insignificant town of Bethlehem. So he was the youngest. He was the most unlikely in a small little town. But God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And he found this guy, David, who was after his own heart. And we said that even though God sees differently to people, we don't just go, oh, well, God sees differently. We go, no, well, God cares about the heart more than the physical appearance. So we should care about the heart more than the physical appearance. We should care more about our spiritual life and our character than the external achievements and things that people do. And we talked about that last week. And so this week, we're going to come to this famous story. And really, this is where David really becomes king in a sense. So he was anointed in a ceremony with Samuel with a few people in Bethlehem as king, but he wasn't actually made king yet. But here in this battle, at this famous story with David and Goliath, it's really where he is seen as a king, seen as this leader of Israel. So let's pray, and we're going to talk about how David sees differently to everybody else. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've been teaching us through the book of 1 Samuel. We thank you that we've been learning that you are the king of all and that we should submit to you, our king. And that is the way of joy and peace, is to have you as the leader of our life. Help us, God, to listen again to you today, to see if there's some things in our character, in our hearts that need to be changed by your Holy Spirit. Help us to see those things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What do you see? Put your hands up if you saw a rabbit. Put your hands up if you saw a duck. Put your hands up if you got no idea what you're looking at, a few of you, because some of you didn't put your hands up. Put your hands up now if you can see both. You can see the rabbit and the duck. Okay, well done, well done. Quickly, what do you see? A young lady or an old lady? Young lady? Old lady. You've seen these before, haven't you? And it's these images that show that people see differently. And you can show these images, and one person will look and see one thing, and then another person will look and see something different. And we're going to see in this famous story against this big giant Goliath that David actually saw the situation differently than everybody else. Everybody else saw it one way and he saw it a different way. And I think it's the way we are supposed to see life and see our own battles. And so we're talking about this famous story of Goliath. And we're going to zip pretty quick through the story. But Goliath there at the time, one of the main enemies of Israel at the time is the Philistines, right? And they had conquered some cities on the coast along the Mediterranean Sea there. And they had some cities along the coast there and they had chariots. And they were Israel's main enemy at the time. And we read in verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're in, if you got your Bibles there, if you can follow along. We read in verse 2 that the armies had gathered on these two sides of the valley of Elah or Elah. And you can go online and see a picture of that valley today, and they know where that place is. And you can see a picture, and you can go and see and imagine where these armies were camped. It's, I find that stuff fascinating. Because we're not just reading tall tales, are we? Are we? We're reading history, and we're reading the story of what happened. Real places, real times. And so the two armies are camped, and we're told in verse 4 that this champion Goliath, he comes out, and if you go to verse 16, we see for 40 days and 40 nights. So often in the Bible, the number 40, right? The flood, Jesus tempted, all these things, years in the desert, 40. But for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath comes out day and night and taunts the Israelites. We're told in the Bible that he's over 9 feet tall. He's about this big. He's a big dude. Now, straight away, some of you said, well, that's not possible. That just can't be right. And I'm even finding these days, more and more, I'm actually finding Christians who start to try and explain away the miracles of the Old Testament, right? And it concerns me. And the thing is, if you actually believe God spoke the universe into existence, I mean, he can make a guy over 9 feet tall, can't he? And what I know about God and what he's shown himself faithful and trustworthy, and what I know about this book, it's more than a book, it's the word of God, and it's been shown to be faithful. I read this stuff and I just take it as true. I mean, if God can speak the universe into existence, in Joshua, he can tell the sun to stand still, and I believe he did that. If God can speak the whole universe into existence, he can tell the Red Sea to part and people walk along dry land. Can't he? Amen? God is the God that can do anything. It's his world. And so one little side note, it's not the main point today to take away, is just to believe. You read these stories and don't start, you know, the world out there, they're going to tell you that can't do, that can't happen. You can't have a guy, you know, 9 feet tall. You know, God can do it, right? He's the God that created everything. He's the God that rules and reigns. And I believe there was this big guy, Goliath. Now, we're told not only he was tall, he had to be pretty tall because his armor, he had a coat of metal that weighed 57 kilos. That's just his chain sort of armor that he had on. 57 kilos he's carrying around just to that. The tip of his spear was 7 kilos alone. Just the tip of his spear. I mean, he's a big, big guy. Verses 8 to 11, I'll just read those couple of verses again to see this situation with Goliath. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you're only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then you'll be our slaves. But if I kill him," I'll get that around the wrong way. "If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves." And here's the important thing to note, because we're going to come back to this, verse 10. "I defy the armies of Israel today." Remember that line, okay? I defy, who does he defy? The armies of Israel. So he sees in the physical. He only sees in the physical. He sees, and it's not just Goliath that only sees that. We're told that Saul and the Israelites, they're terrified as well. So they're completely terrified as well. And so every person there, the Philistines, the Israelites, what they see a giant guy who can't be defeated, and that's all they see, and they see that he's going against the armies of Israel. He's going against this group of people. Well, meanwhile, we've got David. Now, David, remember, he's been anointed by Samuel as the next king of Israel, the one that's going to be after God's own heart. But he's the youngest, he's the insignificant one in those days in the family. I said last week that in our culture we value youth and we value children, don't we? In this culture, the youngest was the last in line for everything, right? You're last. You'll get the oldest gets the double inheritance. They get more. They're in charge. Everyone who's younger is a servant to the older. How's that go? Who's the youngest in their family? There's a few young ones. Actually, yeah, you can. There's your brother. You're his servant. Okay, you'd let him know. Reese loves it, don't you, Reese? Yeah. But that was that culture. But he'd been anointed the king. So his older brothers, they're fighting in the army because they're the older ones. And David's at home with his dad helping look after the sheep. That's what he's got to do. So there's this great battle going on, but David's at home, he's looking after the sheep. But David's dad says, well, what I want you to do is I want you to go to your brothers and take some bread to your brothers. And he's pretty smart. He says, take some cheese to their captain as well. Look after their boss as well. That's a pretty smart dad, isn't it? And he says, take this food to your brothers. And we read verse 23, if you're following along in your Bibles there. As he was talking with them, so he goes to meet his brothers, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks, and David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. So David's gone to take the bread, take the food to them, and when he gets there, there's Goliath, and he sees Goliath shouting out, "I defy the armies of Israel." And he asks the soldiers, what on earth is going on here? I mean, what is going on? Why are we standing here? And here's this guy out here shouting us and cursing us. And so they tell him what's going on. And then we get to what I think is the key verse in the whole text. Now, you think the most important part in this story is the rock being hit in Goliath's head, right? You think that's, I mean, that's the highlight of the story, right, is the rock going in. But I want to tell you, in fact, I think verse 26 is actually the highlight and the central verse of this whole story. And it says this: "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of what?" So hang on a minute. Before, what did everyone see? The Philistine was coming against the armies of Israel. But now David sees something different, right? He sees beyond the physical to the spiritual reality. And he says, who is this guy that he's going against God? I mean, come on. Like, fair enough, it might be, you think it's a hard battle, but I mean, he's not going against me or you. He's going against God. David sees the situation differently. He sees beyond the physical. He sees the spiritual reality of what is happening. Now, we have to be a bit careful here because this gets applied in all sorts of ways that I don't think are always so helpful. We need to remember that God had made a special covenant with Israel, and at the time he'd promised them a land. He'd promised them if they're faithful, they'd have that land, they'd have blessing, and that God would fight their battles for them, right? That's what David's going on, the promises of God there. So it doesn't mean you can go out and get in the ring with, you know, Mike Tyson and be guaranteed to win, right? Here was a situation where the promise of God, David looked beyond the physical to the spiritual reality of what God had said, what God had done, and God had promised something to Israel. And he said, well, what's going on here? This guy's going against God. Now, David, he keeps chatting and talking away about it. We won't go into all the verses. His brothers get really upset that David's there questioning him. I mean, this is my little brother. What are you doing, right? You know, you remember growing up when your little brother or sister told you what to do, or even when you're older, you might not like it, right? Who likes that? No one likes their little brother and sister coming, telling them what to do, or you're wrong, or one of my favourites is now that I'm going to pick on you, Beck, sorry. I didn't tell her. Normally I try and tell them beforehand, but I'm going to pick on her without telling her. We now have our first pea plater in the family, right? It's not fun, let me tell you. The other day, I had to watch, she put all our kids in the car, 5 kids we've got if you don't know, so there goes 5 of our kids driving out the driveway, off they went, without parents, and we're just standing there going, this is just, it's not right. It's not right. There goes my kids. But what I really love is when my teenage children give me driving tips. You know, because, you know, I mean, any parents know, yeah, I probably need them, I know, but you know. I mean, you love when you're older, the younger telling you what to do, don't you? I mean, we love that. So here's David, and he's going on about this battle, and his big, tough brothers who are in the fight, they're going, go away, David. How dare you come and get involved in this? But David doesn't give up. And in fact, it gets all the way to King Saul. Have a look at verse. We're going to read a couple of verses here from verse 32. Have a look in your Bibles. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. There he is again. Not fighting people, you're fighting God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. So Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, he strapped the sword over it, and he took a step to see what it was like because he'd never worn such things before. He'd never put on armor before. I can't go in these, he said to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. So there's David. Little David against the big, big giant. It says he was a boy. We don't know how young he was. I mean, he's beaten lions and bears, so we often assume David was this tiny little fella. He could have been a tall guy, you know. Could have grown up like the Flippins' son, you know. Now I look at that photo of you and he's like this, and now there he is on the stage, right? He could have been a strong young guy, but he was going up against Goliath, right? This young guy. But he doesn't care. In Australia, we love the underdog, don't we? The tall poppy syndrome. We love pulling the tall down. We love it when there's a small going against the big. We love it when the battler is going against the big company or the government or one of my favourite movies. Oh, there we go. Who likes that one? Tell him he's dreaming. Tell him he's dreaming. We love it when the little guy comes up against the big guy. We love it. And so here's David. He's going up against the giant Goliath. And again, Goliath taunts David and he goes with his taunts again. But again, we read that David is just standing firm in what he knows about God. He looks beyond the physical reality. He said to the Philistine, verse 45, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled there here will know the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and a spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." And of course, then we get in this whole chapter of how many verses? 58 verses. We get one verse for that famous battle, right? You get one verse. It's not the most important thing. We think it is. But you get one verse. He has to win the battle. We go there. David goes down. Goliath's there with all his armor and everything. David just gets his sling, one rock. Whoosh, 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 whack. Hits Goliath where? Right in the middle of the head. Sinks in, it says in the Bible, and down he goes, and David goes and chops his head off with his Goliath's own sword. He wins the battle. Goliath is dead. Now, this famous story, it can be applied in a whole lot of ways, but I think it's often applied wrongly. And I want to explain to you why. I mean, when I've heard this preached over, you know, I've grown up in the church, I've heard this story heaps of times. Normally what is told to me is you can overcome all your giants, right? That you can, the small can, in God, you can overcome everything. And it's kind of true, right? Now this is where we have to be careful with things that are kind of true. Because what it says and what's often preached is, well, it doesn't matter what the battle is and how impossible it seems, you will overcome it if you follow God. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But sometimes, in the physical, you might lose the battle. In the physical, I'm afraid. You're not Old Testament Israel in a covenant with the land there. And I'm afraid sometimes people are going to get sick, aren't they? Sometimes cancer is going to win. Sometimes you're going to lose your job. Sometimes you're going to struggle with finances and relationships. This story is not a promise that everything in your life is just going to go so well because every giant is just going to fall over, right? You're going to have your one verse of battle and no matter what comes your way, everything's just going to, it's going to be so easy. Walk around life. Whew, isn't life good? Never get sick. Never have any trouble. It's not the reality. I mean, it's not the Bible I read. It's not the life I live. I'm afraid it's not the story. Now, you can sometimes, and I believe in the power of prayer. I believe God is bigger than anything. I believe, as we read in Ephesians, God is able to do more than we ask or imagine. And we should be praying all the times against those battles of sickness and all those things. We should be. And sometimes God says, yes, it is my will. But sometimes he says, no, you've got to go slow or you've got to grow. Or the answer is just no. Don't you hate it when God says no? Come on, I'm not the only one, am I? I mean, sometimes God says no. And so, yes, you can overcome. Sometimes you can overcome impossible things. Sometimes there can be healings and miracles and all sorts of things. But sometimes you're not going to win that physical battle in the physical world. And so I think we have to be careful to just go, well, this means I can overcome any struggle and it's all going to go well. And anyone who comes against me, I'm going to beat it. Because sometimes that's not the reality, I'm afraid. So how do we apply this story then? Well, we do pray for the miraculous. But I guess as we finish up, I just want us to think about three things. Now, I mentioned this the other week. When you're reading Old Testament history, here is a simple way to think about when you're reading that, how do I apply it? What's going on? There's three things you need to think about. The first thing you need to think about is what is this story in the overarching story of the Bible? So there's a big story of the Bible, right? There's a big story of the Bible that God created everything. Then what happened? We broke it, right? And we blame Adam and Eve, but it's every human since has been disobedient to God, so we're in that as a human as well. So God made it perfect. Humankind broke it. Sin came into the world. But in Jesus, God redeemed it. Yes, amen? And then there's a new creation coming that's going to be perfect for all God's people. Yes? Everyone follow? And so all these Old Testament stories are part. So the first thing you're looking at is what was God doing as part of this big story? There he is slaying the giant. Well, the first thing he was doing, the big story here, he was revealing his chosen king who was then going to be promised this eternal kingdom through which the line of who would come? Jesus Christ would come in the line of King David as the perfect against the imperfect King David, who would come as the perfect king. So the first thing we're seeing in the story here is that this story is part of what God's plan and purpose overall of he was revealing David as the king, and then through that was going to come Jesus, the king. So that's the first thing he was doing. We've got to be aware of that. The second thing we can do with Old Testament history is we can say, well, what does this tell us about the character of God and who he is and what he thinks of people and how we relate to God? So we're looking at the big story, we're looking at the character of God. And we see here, quite clearly, oh, that's the last one, we're getting to that one. We see here God's power, don't we? His authority. I mean, it was an impossible situation, but God stepped in. No one has authority and power over God, do they? I mean, David saw it. He saw it. No one else saw it because in the physical it was too hard, but David saw it. He saw that, no, this is going against God, and no one has more power than God. No matter what happens in life, God rules and reigns. Everyone say, God reigns. This is a reality that we're trying to alert the world to, aren't we? With word and with sign, with deed. We're trying to tell people, we're trying to show people that our God reigns. Nothing can stop that. And so here in this story, God shows his power. So you're looking at these Old Testament stories and you're saying, where does it fit in God's overarching story? You're looking at the story and saying, what does it show us about who God is? And then finally, I think, and there's many more you could do, but these are just three ways. We're saying, what does this mean in the light of Jesus? Because we live on the side of redemption, don't we? Back in this story in the Old Testament, this is before Jesus in the Old Covenant, we live under the New Covenant. So what does this mean in light of Jesus? What does it mean in who we are? And I think for us, just in finishing, I think we need to see in the spiritual and not just the physical, right? This is what happened with David. Everybody else only saw what was in front of them. And they were so fearful and they were so worried and their world was falling apart. But David saw there is more, and there is more. And we need to see in the spiritual. We're told some things, aren't we, in the Bible about who we are. Is God against us? No, God's for us. Which day does God stop loving us? On the days we're good or bad? Which days? For those that are part of God's family, no days. We read before those verses from Matthew. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or with what will we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Romans 8, we're going to be using part of this in Kids Activity Week. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can somebody say amen, please? Amen to that. We need to pray for miraculous outcomes because sometimes God can slay giants that we could not do on our own. But it's not always going to go perfectly for us. Sometimes there's some giants that we've got to battle. We've had a difficult few weeks with our foster child, Stefan, and we've got court cases coming up and all sorts of difficulties there. And it was getting to the point at times where I was so consumed in the physical that I was getting so stressed and worried because I wasn't looking into the spiritual of who God is and what he thinks. I mean, even in that situation in a court case, it's not me against the court case. It's me. Who's with me? It's me and God. And I'm praying, I'm in his will, and he's going to work his purposes and plans, and I can trust that he loves me no matter what giants I face. And so it's not always that you're going to not have these giants and you're just going to knock them over with one rock like David does, but it means in, as you face the giants of life and the struggles, you can know God is with you. You've got to see in the spiritual as David did. And you've got to see that God is always loving his people. He can't stop loving his people. It's impossible. It's impossible for God to stop loving his children. That's good news, isn't it? And you've got to be in those battles and knowing God loves you, knowing God is for you and with you, and anything you go up against, it's not you versus this situation, it's you with your God versus this situation. And that's a battle that God can't lose. Does not mean it's always going to go as you like, but it means it's going to go as God likes. And he's going to be with you and trust you. I got an email the other day around these court cases, and I just felt really sick in my stomach. And I thought, you know what I do? I've got to go and walk, and I've got to pray, and I've got to say, what do I know about God? And I just went for just 5 minutes of a walk and just started saying that one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 40, 31, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength, and just started speaking it out. Another version says, those who hope in the Lord. It's hopeful waiting is what the Hebrew word means. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And I just started speaking these words out, just 5 minutes going for a walk, and suddenly a peace came over me that is not from anywhere but from who? From God. Because I'm starting to say, you know what? In the physical, this is just horrible, and it's tough, and things are tough, but there's a spiritual reality of what I know about the God that loves me, and nothing can change that. And I'm going into this situation, and God's going to be for me and with me, and I've got to have integrity, seek his kingdom first, as we read. Everything else will sort itself out. Now, I still have those battles, like you. I get into situations. I've got my cousin's husband. I'm going a bit longer, sorry. Well, we're nearly finished. I've got my cousin's husband who a couple of weeks ago was in a mountain bike accident. And he's only a young fella and younger than me. Got a couple little kids and they said he's probably going to never walk again. And he's there in hospital and he's in there and he's just got great faith. And he's there saying, you know, God's got a plan and a purpose. And I just get moved by it. And my parents are going up to visit him this week. And so in the physical, it's a horrible situation. But even in that, he was able to look beyond the physical, right, and see the spiritual reality. God is still God. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Now, he has his moments of where he goes, well, this is just too hard, right? Another thing, you're not just, unless, maybe there's a few perfect, any perfect Christians here? No? No? Unless you're perfect, you're still going to have these like this, aren't you? I mean, I still have my moments where I get back into, I start seeing in the physical again, right? And we've got to keep coming back to God's word and his promise. And we've got to see in the spiritual as we face life's giants. Because this is us. Can't promise all the giants will be defeated. And if the band wants to come up, ready. In fact, if you go into Revelation, you want to know who the heroes of the story are there? They're the martyrs. Now, they faced their giant, in a sense, in the physical world, and they lost, didn't they? They're the heroes of the story, the ones that God is giving glory to, the one that God is lifting up, the one that the church is celebrating, are the ones that actually died for their faith. I mean, they faced their Goliath in the physical and they didn't win, did they? But in the spiritual reality, they won, didn't they? I mean, they got a crown of glory for eternity. So we've got to learn to see beyond the physical to the spiritual reality. Remember, David saw differently than everyone else. Everyone else looked at the situation and only saw the physical reality. David saw the spiritual reality of who God is. And as you face your giants, you have to see the truth of who God is, see the spiritual reality of the God who loves you. And that is the thing that's going to bring you peace as you fight your Goliath, whatever that is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge that even in this place we're sitting in, a bunch of people, there's something more going on. There's a spiritual reality in this world. There's not only you, the God who reigns and rules, there's angels and demons. There is a spiritual nature reality to this world. Help us, God, to remember that. Help us in our own battles when we face our own Goliaths, our own giants, to see beyond the physical to the spiritual reality of who you are and what you're doing. Help us, God, to be like David that sees beyond what's just in front of his eyes, but sees the truth of who you are behind that. Remind us, God, of the promises of who you are and what you think of us when we face our giants, that would uphold us. And Lord, there's for anyone that's facing a giant right now in our church, all sorts of battles going on, would you help them, God, to see who you are and how much you love them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.